Good morning. Welcome to each of you to the Lord's house this morning on this beautiful Memorial Day Sunday as we honor those who have lost their lives and sacrificed to our country. And we also remember how our Lord Jesus paid the ultimate price for our salvation this morning. As always, if you haven't already done so, we'd like to invite you to fill out the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on down the road to your neighbors to sign. And if you're a first-time visitor this morning to Berry Christian Church, we'd like to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to honor your presence with a small gift that we'll bring to you where you're seated if you'll simply raise a hand to let us know where you're seated at. Any first-time visitors, please raise your hand. All right, I thought I recognized almost everybody here this morning. We're grateful this morning to Ken Remmert for leading our hymns and presenting this morning's special music as Andrew has taken the weekend off and is currently in Ohio for the baptism of his nephew. So thank you, Ken. Welcome, sir. And you'll hear Ken here in a few more minutes as he does our special music. Next Sunday afternoon, June 3rd, please note that we'll be celebrating our spring church picnic here on the church grounds. And then on Saturday, June 9th, the ladies of Berry are hosting the Father's Appreciation Breakfast at 9 o'clock. There's more information in the bulletin's announcement insert on both of those events. Please also note, though, in the bulletin it says contact Barb Mayberry regarding the picnic. Please don't do that as she's still with family following that tragic loss several weeks ago. Instead, if you have questions about the picnic, please contact Kathy Connell or Lana Witten. The church office will be closed tomorrow for the Memorial Day holiday. We are most grateful to Kathy Connell, who covered for Carol's absence in the office last week. And next week, Pastor Dennis and Carrie will be taking some vacation time. They're actually leaving tomorrow through next Sunday in order to attend the promotion ceremony for Jonathan, their son, as a captain in the U.S. Air Force at Peterson Air Force Base. So congratulations to Jonathan and, of course, to Dennis and Carrie. Any youth interested in attending summer camp at Tall Oaks, please do contact us in a church office. And vacation Bible school is coming up, folks. I know it seems kind of far away, but as the summer heat seems to have set up shop outside, we're reminded that VBS is just around the corner. This year it's going to be July 23rd through 27th. It's Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to noon each day. Most years we have anywhere from 30 to 60 children, ages 4 through 5th grade, not just from our own families here at Berry, but also from around the surrounding community. And it really does take a village to put on such an event, from the folks that work in the kitchen serving snacks to leading children's games or arts and crafts or helping with music or Bible study. We've got all the supplies and materials covered. We just need some caring adults who share in a love for children and, of course, a love for Jesus Christ. As Jesus always says, let the children come to me. We'd like to do the same for VBS this year. So please take a look in the foyer, on the table back in the foyer. There's a couple sign-up sheets for volunteers, and we'd appreciate all the help that we can possibly get. Do we have any other announcements this morning? All right, would all those who are able please stand as Ken comes to lead us in our call to worship.
Good morning, folks. Let's read responsively the call to worship, Psalm 29, and say it like you mean it. Praise the Lord, you heavenly beings. Sing praise to the Lord, all his faithful people. Remember what the Holy One has done and give him thanks. Let's sing together. Hymn number 284, Gather Us In, stanzas 1 and 4.
Here in this place the new light is streaming, shadows of doubt are vanished away. See in this space our fears and our dreamings, brought here to you in the light of this day. Gather in us the lost and forsaken, gather in our spirits in flame. Call to us now and we shall awaken, we shall arise at the sound of your name. Not just in buildings small and confining, not in some heaven light years away. Here in this place the new light is shining. Now is God present and now is the day. Gather within and hold us forever. Gather us in and make us your own. Gather us in, all peoples together, fire of love in our flesh and our bone.
May we all bow in prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for another day of life and another opportunity to gather here in your house with our church family. We acknowledge the privilege that is ours when we accept you into our lives, and that it is truly unconditional, and that we are indeed your children. You have called each of us here, and we have accepted your gracious invitation. Almighty God, we yearn to feel close to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. May we feel the real presence of the Holy Spirit as we begin our service of worship now. It is in the name of the living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning. Please be seated. At this time, we'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing from page 511, Strong, Gentle Children.
Strong, gentle children, God made you beautiful. Give you the wisdom and power that you need. Speak in the stillness, all you are longing for. Live out your calling to love and to lead.
You're very helpful. May not work very well, but you're very helpful. Sometimes something blocks the signal for our cell phone. That means something gets between those big, tall cell phone towers and my phone. The tower keeps sending out signals, but my phone is not getting it. So here's my question for you today. What blocks your signals? What gets between you and God? What gets between y'all and God? Is it your phone? Do we spend too much time on our phone? Is it our computers? We spend too much time on the computer. Too much time watching the TV. Yep. Here's the thing. We all do it. We all let things get between us and God. We need to not do that, but we do it anyway. So, God keeps sending out his love. He keeps sending out his grace. He keeps sending out his guidance. But sometimes we don't get it because we're too busy doing something else. When we should be paying attention. Do y'all pay attention all the time? Not all the time, huh? Nope. Nobody pays attention all the time. You do? I'm going to talk to Mom and Dad about that. I'll bet they have a different opinion. So, we need to sometimes put down the phone, move away from the TV, get off the computer, stop playing with our toys, and pay attention to what God has to say to us. What you got, sweetums?
Today, we don't have to worry about that because we're getting a pool and a playset.
So now it's the pool and the playset that's going to be in the way? There's always something. We just need to remember to pay attention. We can be out there having fun and still pay attention to what God's saying to us, can't we? We don't have to just sit here and do nothing all the time, because God talks to us all the time. What's this little hand up here for?
We're going to have a slide on the pole.
Oh. Well, this is important. So, can we have a little prayer, please? Dearest Heavenly Father, please help us to always remember to keep ourselves open to what you are trying to give to us, to your love, your grace, your guidance. Help us to always be thankful for those things that you offer us and give to us freely each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we go to God in prayer, this week especially, we want to celebrate with Doris O'Neill and with Doris's daughter, Julie Mills, and Brian Mills, with the fact that their youngest daughter, Lauren Mills, is going to be marrying Bradley Taylor here in the sanctuary about 4 o'clock this afternoon. So a wonderful occasion for them. Also, Doris O'Neill's brother, Gary Crane, is in hospice care here in the Kansas City area after experiencing quite a number of health concerns. Our thanks to many of you who were able to attend the funeral service for Betty Sillen on Friday of this past week, and many thanks to several of you who made the journey to Omaha to attend the service for Barbara Mayberry's grandson, Adam Blake, yesterday. Certainly appreciate y'all making that effort. Dan Carlisle is with us this morning, and Dan, we're lifting you up in prayer as you're looking toward this surgery on the 13th of June for this throat cancer you're dealing with. So we are so delighted that you and Juanita are here. We just lift you up in prayer and pray for God's healing presence to be with you in a significant way. God bless you, Dan. Also, John and Dorinda Hoke, again, they normally attend the 8:30 service, but again, John is continuing that treatment of radiation for the a tumor that he had behind his right eye. He's been making good progress, and we're just really praising God for that. We lift up the fact that Freddie Nichols anticipates leaving Linden Woods and returning home on Tuesday of this week. Also, Gwen Stefani's sister, Susan Peterson, had some surgery this past week, and so Gwen's been up in Minnesota for that. And we continue to lift up Luella Scott's daughter, Jo Ellen Foreman, and Sheila. We're so glad you're here this morning. God bless you. We just keep you in prayer in the midst of the respiratory concerns you've been dealing with as well. May it be in the spirit of prayer that we bow our heads this morning before the Lord's presence. Merciful and gracious God, for your abundant mercies and blessings bestowed upon us, we are grateful. We give pause this Memorial Day Sunday that we may not forget our fallen in military service who have given their utmost to uphold the treasured freedoms we appreciate as a nation. As Memorial Day approaches tomorrow, may we pause to remember the 1,354,644 armed service members who lost their lives in service since the inception of our nation. And may each of us especially lift up in prayer the families of the 6,780 service men and women who have lost their lives from the war in Afghanistan beginning in 2001 up into our present time. For these families, O God, we know that Memorial Day holds precious significance as fathers, mothers, siblings, sons and daughters, relatives and dear friends pause and wonder how their lives would have been shaped if only their loved ones had peacefully come home. And as each of us go about our daily task, may we never forget the fallen or the loved ones, and may we honor their sacrifice by upholding qualities of honor, dignity, courtesy, and distinctive citizenship in our service as fellow citizens in our community and nation. For we must each realize that it is by upholding the distinctive qualities of freedom of religion, speech, and opportunity that our soldiers died defending, that we honor their sacrifice with significant dignity. Even as fellow believers in Christ, we recognize that it is only in upholding the Christ-like values that Jesus emulated and encouraged us to follow that we as his followers truly honor his sacrifice on the cross. May it always be one of the greatest endeavors of our hearts and minds to live lives that bring honor and glory to those who have given their utmost for the privileges we possess. To this we all strive toward, O God, as we especially seek to honor you, our Creator and Sustainer. Thus we offer this prayer this morning on behalf of the people of God, as we remember how our Lord Jesus teaches us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Phil has our reading this morning. Thank you, Phil.
Our reading this morning comes, our first reading comes from the book of Joshua, the fourth chapter, verses 6 through 9, and you may find that in your Pew Bible on page 194. So that this may be a sign among you, when your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off in front of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the Israelites a memorial forever. The Israelites did as Joshua commanded. They took up 12 stones out of the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord told Joshua, and carried them over with them to the place where they camped and laid them down there. Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan in the place where the feet of the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, verses 25 and 26. And you may find that in your pew Bible on page 1047 and 1048. In the same way, he took up the cup also after supper, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This is part of the story of God as told by the people of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays, stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting birds and flowing fountain calls us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed, wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, fill us with the joy divine. Mortals, join the happy chorus which the morning stars began. Father, love is reigning o'er us, binding woman, child, and man. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life. Sing the triumph song of life. Joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love.
Well, God bless you both. Ken and Lenora, thank you so much. You know, I mentioned at the earlier service, can you just imagine what it's like to be in a household where you can just pick up some wonderful music just right off the bat, right? Isn't that a blessing for you all? It really is. Praise God. Thank you. It is in remembering that we know how to respond in the moment. We hold the door at the quick stop Actually, it's Quick Trip, isn't it? I got that wrong. I wrote that wrong. Quick Trip for another customer, because we remember the last time another customer was so courteous to do the same for us. We say please and thank you and strive to listen to others without interrupting, because we remember these are courtesies that our parents instilled in us. This Memorial Day Sunday, we strive to uphold lives of distinctive citizenship, because we remember that over 1,300,000 men and women have paid the supreme price to preserve the freedoms we enjoy. As we sing Reagan Courtney's hymn, "In Remembrance of Me," and as we partake in the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper, we recommit our lives in thankful service for the sacrifice Christ paid for the remission of our sins. As the composer reminds us, Jesus is saying to us, "In remembrance of me, always love. In remembrance of me, don't look above, but in your heart look for God." Our communion hymn is number 403, "In Remembrance of Me." We sing stanzas, or both stanzas, please. Hymn number 403.
In remembrance of me, eat this bread. In remembrance of me, drink this wine. In remembrance of me, pray for the time when God's own will is done. In remembrance of me, heal the sick. In remembrance of me, feed the poor. In remembrance of me, open the door and let your neighbor in. Let him in. Take, eat, and be comforted. Drink and remember too that this is thy body, precious blood shed for you, shed for you. In remembrance of me, search for truth. In remembrance of me, always love. In remembrance of me, don't look above, but in your heart look for God. Do this in remembrance of me.
As we gather at the Lord's table, let us again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Anna leads us in a word of prayer.
Lord, today we gather at this table in remembrance of the past sacrifice that you have made for us. Your sacrifice is what gives us hope for our future, and your love is all enduring. Lord, we ask that you bless this cup and bread, that as we take of it, we will be filled with your hope for the for today and for every day. We ask this in your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. It has been said that everything has its price, but truth be told, the most precious aspects of life are indeed priceless. And even as we consider the great benefits we have as citizens of our country and as citizens of the family of God, we acknowledge that fellow citizens and our Lord Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price of their very lives for the precious freedoms and gifts we often simply take for granted. As Paul especially reminds us concerning Christ's sacrifice in Ephesians chapter 1, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. When we come to grips with the depth and breadth of what has been accomplished for our benefit, giving our tithes and offerings each and every Sunday becomes easier, for we find ourselves giving cheerfully and thanksgiving. We consider these thoughts as Wanda offers the word of prayer and as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Let us pray. Lord, we ask for you to guide us in the decisions we make and guide us to do our best for you. As we honor you with our gifts, we ask that you bless the gift and the giver. Thank you for our many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord God, we pray that these offerings are used for your glory and purposes now and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. May we have a word of prayer. Holy and gracious God, we are indeed grateful for the day. May it indeed be a day of remembrance for us as we are mindful of the sacrifices made that we may have the blessed benefits of the freedoms we enjoy in this country. And even supreme above that, the very precious gift of life eternal through your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in His name that we give thanks. Amen. On Memorial Day, Americans engage in numerous recreational activities with family and friends, and we have noticed that a number of our people are certainly out and about traveling this weekend. In fact, I noticed a number of people seem to kind of start it early. Some folks started like on Wednesday of last week in order to get a head start on the advantage of that three-day weekend. But this is a weekend filled with ball games, food, boating, barbecue, and you name it. We become so occupied with doing things for ourselves, however, that we easily forget the origin and purpose of what was once called Decoration Day. Even Decoration Day is usually marked mostly with the flowering of graves of loved ones. And Memorial Day is often mixed up with Veterans Day, as if somehow both mean we're just supposed to give thanks for those people who've served in military service. But Memorial Day was first observed as a solemn occasion, not as a holiday, solely to remember those who lost their lives in service to our country. It was on the 30th day of May in 1868 that General John A. Long declared the first Decoration Day at Arlington National Cemetery as the graves of fallen soldiers from the Civil War were decorated with flowers. And during the Civil War, so many soldiers lost their lives that it was not feasible to return the bodies of the fallen to their home states, towns, or churches, which had been the custom during the Revolution and even the War of 1812. Rather, soldiers' bodies were interred in places near where they died. As early as 1862, in places like Mill Springs, Kentucky, or near Army hospitals like that of Keokuk, Iowa, and other places where troops were concentrated, like Alexandria, Virginia. Battlefields, where great loss was experienced on both sides, became cemeteries, and the fallen were laid out in an orderly fashion according to the regiments and states for which they fought. Some of these battlefields are familiar to us today. Gettysburg and Vicksburg come to mind. By the third year of the Civil War, the increasing number of fatalities was outpacing the burial capacity of Washington, D.C. To meet this demand, then, 200 acres of Arlington Plantation was set aside as a military cemetery, with the first burial taking place on the 13th of May in 1863 for Private William Chrisman of Pennsylvania. Arlington National Cemetery was established, and by the end of the Civil War, there were about 30 national cemeteries across various states, and so many others have been added since then that we now remember more than 1.3 million men and women who have lost their lives in service to this nation since 1775 to our present day. For those of us who have loved ones buried in national cemeteries, there is a sense that one's loved ones belongs to more than just family, but rather to the nation and her causes for the greater good. It is an understanding that you serve for the greater good. I remember one time talking with one of my relatives. This relative happened to live in Kansas. And she said to me, "I cannot understand why your son wants to go in the military." After all, he's not even going to be able to choose where he lives or what he does for a living. And I was just kind of dumbfounded by the commentary. I just paused. I didn't know how to respond. I guess it's because of the way I grew up. And I said, you know, it's not about where you live or what you do for a living. It's all about serving. Serving the nation. That counts for more than just where you happen to park yourself at night and sleep, or where you happen to put your hat on the hat rack. Serving counts for more. It is for the greater good. To remember and honor the greater good is the reason why many memorials were established in years past and are still created in our own time. In ancient times, stones often were set up on end, or they were stacked up to mark memorable occasions, especially in remembrance of God's divine intervention into the affairs of humanity. You remember that after his dream of what had been called Jacob's ladder, Jacob awoke and he set the stone that he had been using as a pillow on end. It was set up as a memorial. Genesis chapter 28 tells us that he then poured olive oil on it to dedicate it to God, and he named the place Bethel, which simply means house of God. In other words, with what Jacob decided to do, he was setting that place apart as a hallowed place of worship. With these stones set on end or stacked, anyone passing by would know that they were observing something that was not a natural phenomena. It was an opportunity to tell and retell the story of God's intervention into humanity's existence at that very spot. Thus, in the Old Testament text from the book of Joshua chapter 4 that Phil read to you earlier, the Hebrew people are instructed to set up standing stones on the spot where God parted the rushing floodwaters of the Jordan River so that the second generation of the Hebrew nation could pass on dry ground into the Promised Land as they followed the Ark of the Covenant carried by those brave priests who so faithfully stepped into the rushing floodwaters, not knowing if they would drown or if they would be saved by the miraculous power of God's great intervention at that moment. As Joshua said of the 12 rounded river stones, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel, collected and stacked together on the shoreline of the new land of Israel, as it's written in Joshua chapter 4, verse 6 and continuing, these stones will remind the people of what the Lord has done. In the future, then, when your children ask what these stones mean to you, you will tell them that the water of the Jordan stopped flowing when the Lord's covenant box crossed over the river at this spot. These stones will always remind the people of Israel of what happened here. You know, we set up our own standing stones even today in hopes that we too will never forget, but rather we will always and truly remember that which was most precious to us. One thing I've noticed, even on our two highways that we have kind of crisscross us right here in the Northland, you notice that people have set up memorials for loved ones who obviously have lost their lives at certain spots on the highway. Have you noticed that? We've got several of those spots is right here in our immediate area. Now, what I've noticed here, especially as of late, family members or friends have done a wonderful job of trying to take care of those places. Have you noticed that? I'm surely not the only one. Have you noticed that? Again, it's setting up a memorial in hopes that loved ones will not be forgotten. A father named Solomon sits on a bench in a quiet little park in Cupertino, California, and he reads his Bible. Every once in a while, he glances up at a bronze statue. On the Sunday afternoon occasion, Solomon says, it brings me peace. But peace is not what Solomon always feels. Because the bronze statue commemorates the death of his son, then 28-year-old, son named James, and 11 other Navy SEALs who were killed on the 28th of June in the year 2005 in Afghanistan during the most deadly event experienced by Navy SEALs since the inception of the elite fighting force in 1962. James and his family were very proud of his accomplishment of being accepted into the SEALs, mindful that because of the stringent training, less than 25% of applicants make it to the end of training, and they are assigned some of the most dangerous missions tasked to members of the armed forces. But as Solomon reminisces about the life of his son, he says while looking at the statue, with every passing year, I miss him more, and my sadness seems to grow. It is in our sadness that we can never forget those who have lost their lives, an ultimate sacrifice paid so that the freedoms of speech, assembly, and religious practice may flourish in our land. It is in our sadness that we wish the evil forces could be abolished, that the loss of life may never again be necessary to protect and defend against forces that strive to destroy. And as you and I are gathered in this house of worship on this Sunday morning, the day before Memorial Day, we have great reason to remember another kind of standing stone. For the cross of Christ adorns many a sanctuary as a modern standing stone, set up to remind the younger and the older that an ultimate price was paid by the one for the many. Early on in the Catholic Church, crosses were and still are today adorned with images of the suffering Christ. During a time when few parishioners could read, the stories of God's intervention into human affairs were told through the images and the artwork that adorned the interior of the sanctuaries. As the Protestant side of the church came into being, it was decided that the cross should be empty, giving credence to the fact that Christ was victorious over death and ascended from the dead on Easter Sunday morning. But even the empty cross still serves as a bold reminder of the sacrifice Christ made for the forgiveness of humanity's sin. As Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, sin came into the world through one man, and sin brought death with it. As a result, death has spread to the whole human race because everyone has sinned. Then in verse 16, after the one sin came the judgment of guilty, but after so many sins comes the undeserved gift of not guilty. And then in Romans 6, verse 6, and we know that our old being has been put to death with Christ on his cross in order that the power of the sinful self may be destroyed so that we should no longer be the slaves of sin. For when a person dies, that person is set free from the power of sin. Since we have died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Yes, it's Memorial Day weekend, a time for fun and leisurely activities with family members and dear friends. But more importantly, Memorial Day weekend is a time to truly remember. Remember the payment of the ultimate sacrifice. Today there is a small memorial you may see from time to time. It's a small banner. It has a white background with a broad red border on all four sides. In the center of the white field is a simple gold star. That gold star represents a fallen soldier or airman who lost his or her life in the service of this country. If you ever see one displayed on the back of a car, in a window, on a dress, or a lapel. Express your thanks. For it can only be displayed by a mother or father whose child has given the ultimate sacrifice of his or her life in the defense of this country that affords the privileges of such great freedoms of expression in speech, press, and religion. And the next time you wear a cross around your neck, pin one on your lapel, or hang one on the wall of your home, remember, it isn't some ornate decoration. It was stained by the blood of our Lord Jesus. It is a symbol. It is a standing stone of an ultimate sacrifice offered centuries ago so that we may be blessed with the most precious gift of life eternal. That's why on Sunday mornings, even as we lift up the cup of the Lord's Supper, we remember Jesus' words from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, as he says, "This cup is God's new covenant sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." Do you know Christ? Is he your Lord and Savior? Maybe today is your day to truly acknowledge the sacrifice that Christ has made that you may have the gift of life eternal. Maybe today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is your day to come forward and become a part of the fellowship here at Berry Christian Church as we turn to our hymn of invitation. It's number 323, Wonderful Words of Life, 323. Let us stand and sing all stanzas, please.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
I'm sorry, Michael, I'm having trouble hearing what you're saying. Can you speak louder?
Okay. Oh, we're going to live on 21st to Dallas, Texas, so we need prayer.
Oh, okay. On the 21st of this month. You're moving today.
No, this month.
Of this month?
Yeah.
Just around the corner.
Yeah, That way we're going to take like a 1 week and then we'll be back.
All right. Okay, I appreciate that, Michael. Let me mention that. Michael's going to be moving his family to Dallas 21st of the month of May, right?
Yeah, we're going to visit.
Well, now, today's the 27th, so that's going to be 21st of June.
June.
Okay.
Yeah, 31st, that will go.
Okay.
The 31st, that we're going to take off, and we'll be back on May 4th.
May 4th.
Yeah.
Well, you mean June?
June
4th. Okay. Well, thank you. We're going to keep you all in prayer. That's what we're going to do. Michael, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And God bless you all. I hope you all have a most wonderful Memorial holiday weekend, right? Praise God. And again, if you're traveling, safe travels, traveling mercies as you journey forward. A reminder, again, Carrie and I will be leaving starting tomorrow. We'll be gone through next Sunday. Again, many thanks to Jim, who's going to be kind of holding down the fort, take care of services next week. He'll be the one answering any emergency calls that may come up. God bless you all, and let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Tim. Thank you. Let us pray. Merciful God, as we journey forward, we give thanks for the privilege to have been in your house. Guide and direct us now as we depart, especially as we are mindful of the sacrifices that have been made, that we may be indeed truly blessed. It's in Christ's name that we give thanks. Amen.
Spirit of the Living God, number 259. Let's sing it through twice.
Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me. Fresh on me.
Sing it out.
Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill.
Watch me.
Use me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me.
Amen and amen.